Hey, sister girls, it's your favorite sister girl next door, Cherie. On this episode, I got a chance to interview author Danielle Allen. She's a Black contemporary romance author, and I got to have a candid conversation about her work, her life, and everything in between. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Sister Girl Next Door, and on Twitter, Cherie Writes. And if you love a good book, follow the book club, Sister Girls Book Club on Instagram and Sister Girls BC on Twitter. Hi, Danielle Allen. It's so nice to have you. Thank you for taking the time out to actually speak to me, because I know you're probably really busy getting different projects ready and just, you know, promoting the heck out of all your books. So you are an author that has authored independently 9 books. First, congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
That's very amazing alone. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about just a little bit of everything. The woman, the writer, the businesswoman, and just kind of like letting us know who you are, because writers is always one of those funny things. It's like we want to know the writer, but we don't want to know too much because we just want to know your work as well. I think a lot of writers kind of hide a little bit, but at the same time, as a reader, I'm always interested just a little bit about the story of the writer. And I know sometimes writer just wants to let, you know, the work speak, but we still, as readers, we're just like, okay, who is this author? I just want to feel a little bit of connection. So what inspired you to pick up the pen and begin to write? And if you can remember, what was the first piece you wrote?
Well, for me, during my master's degree, I was only doing nonfiction stuff. It was book after book after book. So afterwards, I did a whole lot of reading of contemporary romance. I wanted to get as far away from, like, textbooks as possible. And this was before I knew about any books or anything like that. And it just seemed like book after book after book either featured a, like, in contemporary romance, featured either a white woman in her 20s,
mm-hmm.
or if it was a Black heroine, she was like late 30s, 40s, like trying to like find love again type of thing. And so I felt like I wasn't really finding that many books that were like a 20-something Black woman who was educated and trying to find love in like the world that I was living in. And so I had been thinking about writing a book for a while, and then I put it on my list of 30 things to do before I turned 30,
mm-hmm.
and I had 6 months left, and so I was like, all right, I'm going to write a book.
Oh, wow. That is cool. So, all right, we all want to know this, because I always ask every writer, what was your profession before you were a writer? Like, what was your 9-to-5? What was your part-time gig, your side hustle?
Counselor, like a counselor and teacher, and I still teach.
Mm-hmm.
I am a professor at a college, and I do that. I teach classes, and I write. Like, that's what I do now. Prior to, I worked in student activities, and while I also taught, and before that, I was a straight counselor. And from someone coming in the office to see me, or me going in the home, our counsel. That's what I went to school for.
Oh, wow. So do your students ever try to like read your books?
So I don't ever tell them that I write. a few of them have found out after the fact, but that was only because I did a local event.
Uh-huh.
And a student came up and was like, Professor Allen. And I was like, hey. And then I had to explain what was happening. And so, I mean, she said she bought some and said that she loved them. But for the most part, my students don't know.
That is,
I don't hide it. But I keep
I know you just like kind of like, you know, I'm not sitting up there with a big old flyer like, oh, all right.
Exactly.
Okay, so who was the first person to tell you that you were a good writer? Because I know people are like, okay, I write, and you know, people, you know, that I might have published my work or whatever, or maybe did a poem here, or, you know, a short essay or something here. But who was the person that said, you know what, this is good, like, you should really publish this?
The man I was with in 2013, mm-hmm. I finished writing, because it was coming up on my 30th birthday, mm-hmm. so I finished writing Back to Life. And I read it, and I was like, this is good, but I knew I was biased. And so he read it, and he was like, this is really good, you should see how to publish it. And so that's when we did a Google search and found out that you could publish your own books on Kindle. I had no idea the indie community even existed at this point. Awesome. And so I self-published, and he read it, and then my best friend read it. Mm-hmm. And then I self-published, and it was from there.
Wow, that's so good. Like, I think we always want to know, like, how do they start? Where did they get the confidence? Especially people who are trying to do anything, not just write, but just to give you that, like, that, what gave you that push to say, okay, it's in my head, I'm dreaming about it, I'm thinking about it, to actually, like, doing it. So when did you get the confidence? Because just because they said you could write, when you said, you know what, I'm really, really, really going to do it, not just like, okay, I have a deadline, or I have read a 30 before 30, but what made you just say, you know what, it's time, it's not a game anymore, it's not just something I want to have in my head as a dream, it's something I actually want to, you know, put out there and see what, you know, the streets is basically going to say?
I honestly wrote it first. Like, I wrote it, and then once I wrote it, mm-hmm. I loved it, and that's where the confidence came from. Like, I loved it. And I think for anyone who writes, like, if you write something and you love it, regardless of what anyone else says about it, like, you can hold fast to the fact that you love it. And so once I finished it, because I really didn't know, like, I told myself I was going to write a novel. I did not have on that list I was going to publish it. I didn't say I was going to do anything else with it except for write it. Mm-hmm. And so it just so happened that after I wrote it and fell in love with Sahar and then her journey, mm-hmm. then I was like, okay, I love this. This is my new thing. I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And that was that.
Okay, finish the sentence. The reason I write is?
The reason I write is to make a difference, to change the landscape of contemporary romance, to, like, showcase the richly diverse lives of educated women of color.
That's pretty good. And one of the things that I noticed is that, because to be a writer, to be any type of artist, for the most part, it requires a certain amount of, like, solitude. Like, being away, being in, like, a corner, in a room, wherever it is, just to, like, kind of get your thoughts out and to get everything, like, all that artsy stuff and to put it, you know, out to the world. So how do you balance being a writer and living like you're, like, now that we know you are, like, a professor, you do so much, how do you balance that? Because it seems like it could get very hard.
It is. I'm still working on how to perfect the balance. There are nights that I don't sleep mm-hmm. because I teach evening classes. And so if I'm teaching and then I get home, and inspiration usually strikes late. So then I'm writing all night, and then I'll sleep for a few hours, maybe in the morning, mm-hmm. and then I'm up having to grade papers and do it all over again. And so when a story is first coming to me, if I've gotten already, like, self-imposed a deadline, then I'm like, okay, I'm good. I can still, like, go out with people, have fun, do what I need to do. But when I have a deadline, I don't see my friends and family as much as I would like. And so I'm still trying to work out how to better balance all of that. Mm-hmm. So if you have any tips, feel free to let me know.
I don't have any tips because I don't have a regular life. Like, I'm always asking that question, I think, in the hopes that somebody can throw out, like, a tip or something that I can use, because it's very hard to try to do anything, especially when you are, like, a self-publisher or doing anything that requires any type of entrepreneurial spirit or any of that where you have to kind of push yourself and be your own self-motivator. There's no punching in and punching out. You have to, like, be on it. So that's a question that I have. How do you stay, I guess, self-disciplined? Because I think for me and for, like, a lot of women out there who's listening, that is the major thing. We have all of these ideas, dreams, goals. I could probably have a list of things that I want to get done, but it's just like, okay, how do I keep pushing myself? So you dropped, this is like your ninth book. Your latest project is your ninth book. How do you stick to your discipline to say, I have a deadline, I'm going to hit it, and not give myself any more wiggle room, or to say if I'm writing Monday, because you told me, I think, a little bit that you had certain days that you write. So I was just like, well, dang, maybe I should take that tip and run with it. Maybe I should take that tip and stop giving myself so much wiggle room. How do you make sure that you are, you know, that you stay on the course or on the schedule?
Boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, I left my full-time job to write full-time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's such a scary thing because you never know what book is going to do what. You don't have, like, that safety net. But, you know, I felt like tomorrow's not promised. And if this is what I love to do, like, I'm sure if I need to pick up more classes, I can, you know, pick up more classes. Or if I, like, if something were to come up later, then I can, you know, adjust. But if I want to spend this time writing, then I have to put up these boundaries. So what I always tell people is set aside some time that is yours. Mm-hmm. And, like, and then you have to hold fast to those boundaries or no one's going to respect them. Mm-hmm. If you keep saying, okay, I write on Monday, and then on Monday, someone's like, hey, can you take me to the store, or can you do this, or can you do that? And you're always like, okay. Then they're not going to respect that Monday you write because they know that, well, if I ask her to do this, she's going to do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, like, set those boundaries on, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to write. And then just map it out and be realistic. Mm-hmm. Because if you're like, I'm going to finish a 100,000 word books in a month. Realistically, like, how many words a day do you have to, like, generate? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, so you have to look at what your output is and then make moves accordingly.
Makes perfect sense. But it's okay, so one of the things that I love about you and your writing, and I hope that people pick it up, that you have a lot of diversity in it. Even though you are a Black romance contemporary writer, I would say, I don't know if you would agree all the way, because you have a lot of characters from all different ethnicities. Everybody is showcased. And to me, what I like about it is that it's never a big deal. Like, I could read a book and the best friend might be Asian and the leading lady is Black, but you describe them obviously to let me know this, but it's never something that you like lean in on. You just kind of say it and you just showcase their relationship. So in your writing, how did you say, you know what, I'm going to write these characters this way with these, like, different ethnicities and different nationalities? Or do you just write and then it just comes out that way?
A little bit of both. I definitely consider myself a Black contemporary romance author. I consider myself a contemporary romance author, mm-hmm. period. And I feature Black women specifically because I feel like, as a Black woman, there aren't enough books out there where we are center stage, like, head of the class, the leading lady. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. because of that, I mean, that's the entire reason why I wanted to start writing to begin with. So most of the main characters that I write, the leading lady, is a Black woman. Mm-hmm. All of the supporting characters, they might disappear in my mind, however they appear, but I like for them to be different. Like, in the one, Zoe's best friend is Japanese. Mm-hmm. And that was important to me because I don't remember the last time I read a book and a character was Japanese. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like just somebody in the background because they went somewhere, like they went to Japan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it was, it's never just mentioned. And so I felt like that was important because I feel like people of color are people of color. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like we should all be showcased just as much as I feel like white women are showcased and put in books. And so then I have the heroes. They could be black or Hispanic or white or Asian, like, because I feel like a black woman needs to be celebrated and it doesn't matter where it comes from. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm all about, like, a black woman getting hers. And so I think that it's important to show that not only is this black woman, like, doing whatever it is she's doing, whether she's a lawyer or if she's in human services or finance or whatever, all of these men that the heroines that I write encounter are of different backgrounds because I feel like black women are desirable and black women are desirable by a multitude of men. And so that is what the underlying theme of all of my books are, mm-hmm. that, like, we are desirable, period.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I think that a lot of people, when they read by black authors, period, is something that, you know, people need to read people that look like them. And I think people that don't look like them need to read about people, you know, who are different from them or who might be, you know, I think it changes the conversation. It changes your outlook when you can pick up a book and you have a bunch of characters who don't look like you, but you can, like, pull into their story. I think it helps the actual human experience as well. That's why I always love celebrating black authors, and I want them to be put at the, you know, black authors, black creatives, period, because we're making things where we can look at ourselves and be, you know, inspired, we can be uplifted, and we can also see that, you know, we don't have to buy into the stereotypes either, because a lot of times people will say, like, the media, and how other people view black people, but people fail to mention that we play into it too. Like, we buy into some of those stereotypes as well, and we have those preconceived notions based on what the media tells us, even about ourselves. Even though we know it not to be true, it seeps into our heads. It's like the weirdest thing, because we always see it as how other people would look at us because of the media and because of how they portray us. But we kind of fail to realize what it's doing to us as well and how we see ourselves with these negative images. So I think when anytime is a black creative, especially a writer, because that you put out something where we can use our imaginations as well as you feeding us, you know, our own culture and our own stories and, you know, celebrating our beauty and our differences and everything else. So I think it's so necessary, which leads me to my next thing. Have you set limitations when it comes to your readers and your own sanity? Because as a reader, as a person who promotes and celebrates authors all the time, no matter what the book, I notice readers want more and more and more and more. And then, like, some of them are nice about it and some of them are, like, very demanding. They'll come at you every single day. And I think it's in a loving way, obviously, but it kind of, like, just with anything, if you have to, it's one thing to write when nobody knows you or to do something when nobody kind of, you know, you kind of set up your own schedule. Not saying that you can be lax about it, but there's nobody looking for you yet. And then when you put something out and it's like, now you got what you wanted. And then it's like, hold up. These people are, like, looking for me now. So how do you maintain, like, you know, saying, okay, I see, like, 25 messages on Facebook asking me about a new project. I'm sitting up here dealing with a deadline on something personal. I have a baby shower to go to. I have, you know, a honeymoon. What, you know, whatever you have going on in your regular life mixed with your professional life. And then, you know, being an author, how do you, you know, tune it all out to make sure that it doesn't, like, seep into you as a writer and you kind of just still have that creative juice, I guess, flowing?
Two things. First, I, like, 100% agree with you about the media. I think that it's a dangerous thing, whether it's books, TVs, magazines, movies, whatever. You have these images of like people of color, but like specifically talk about Black women, if you have these images that are continuously being portrayed on what beauty is and what your size should be and what you, how you should act and how you should talk and what you should accept and what you should tolerate, and that is being fed to you from the time you are a baby on up over and over and over again. And like then you're growing up in the society because it's not just you who are getting these messages. Everyone's getting these messages. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to try to navigate myself that is like set up so that you have to be this shade, this weight, this body shape, this, like everything. And it leaves like very few people who fit that mold. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people in a like a sense of disarray because they don't fit it and then they feel some type of way. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so important to have so many books that showcase so many different characters that look different than the next. And like, because everyone is different. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the beauty of beauty, that like everyone is uniquely created. And so if you have all these different characters in all of these different books and they all look different and they're all considered beautiful, then it's going to relate and connect with someone. Someone's going to read it and feel like, you know what, I feel beautiful. Like this person is considered beautiful in this fictional town. And I also have freckles. So, you know, that makes me beautiful. Or I also have short hair and that makes me beautiful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's so important for women and men to like read and know and understand so that they can love themselves more. Because I feel like a lot of that, and there's a whole lot of conversation, but long story short, yes, I 100% agree with you. The question that you actually asked, though, was about how do I, like, when people email me and they're like, you know, oh, when's this book coming out? That makes me so happy. Give a specific time. Mm-hmm. I will give a general time, but I won't say a specific day unless I'm done the book. Only because things happen. And once I put a date out there,
yeah,
I like to be able to stick to it. And so that's when it gets down to me not sleeping and not eating and just like every free moment is dedicated to writing, because like you have all these real life things happening and you have like your other job and like if people have kids, if they have to deal with that and all of those other things going on as an author, and then also writing, it's hard to like do everything and do everything well. So I try not to give a specific date unless I know I'm about to make it. Like the book is done, it's in editing, like then I'm like, okay. Or I'm at the 3/4 of the way done. And so I know, okay, I can finish this by this time. This is the day. I know when the Back to December is the next book that comes out. I know it's coming out in November. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the exact date yet, but it's coming out more than likely the last week in November, because I'm done enough to be able to back that up. But if I wouldn't be able to say it's coming out the last week in October, because I'm looking at where I'm at now and I'm like, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. But I just don't commit to, because especially someone waiting for it, but I kind of feel like it's someone, people in general, like I think they're excited and they'll say, hey, when's this coming out? And they want to know, but that's not consuming their day. Mm-hmm. Like they want to know because they just thought about it. Mm-hmm. Then they went on about their business. Mm-hmm. And so like you got to keep that perspective in mind that it was like really important to them in that moment to message you, but like they're still going about their day. So like if you're promising people and did a pre-order or something, that's one thing. But if you like you just announced, hey, this book is going to come out, and people are like, hey, when? And you're like,
yeah, it gives that room for you know, making, you know, doing too much too soon, and then you have to actually live up to that. So just to switch it over a little bit, writers, I don't know if people know this, but writers are like small business owners. So what is one piece of advice that you would give a new author on the business side of writing independently, because you are an independent author, so you do everything?
I do it all, and I would say that it is so important to just take account of what it is that goes into it. It's not like you write and that is like probably the least amount of it. You have to do your own marketing, your own, like, if you're going to do some kind of promotion or anything like that, you're doing all of that on your own, or you're hiring someone to do it for you, but then you would have to go the route of researching who it is you're hiring and all of that. But you are your own business. So you have to get out there and, like, push the book and do different advertisements and all of those things that go into the entire process. Like, writing is, like, the fun, creative part of it, but you also have to, like, keep track of your numbers, keep track of what your, like, how many books you're selling for tax purposes. Like, you have to become a machine where you're not just, like, you are your own marketing department. You are your own human resources. You are everything. So just, like, understanding that. And if you know that you don't have the mind to do one aspect of it, hire someone who does. Mm-hmm. Like, don't decide, oh, I'll just do my cover myself. But you have no, like, you're just not creative in that way. Mm-hmm. Because then that, the people do, unfortunately, judge books by their cover. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it becomes a little more problematic. Or if you decide, oh, I can do my own taxes. And it's like, well, Amazon's not taking taxes out. So you don't even have these taxes that end. So there's, like, different things that, like, you need to, like, make sure that you are up to date on. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to do it, have someone in your pocket who does.
It can get real sticky real quick. So you have authored, okay, so you've authored 9 books, okay? That's a lot. So what has each project taught you about yourself? If you can give me, like, a snippet of an answer, because I know it's kind of like a deep answer, and I don't want you to go through each book, but just kind of like an overview, like, as you worked from the very first project up until the 9th, and I'm sure a 10th is on the way, what has writing consistently taught you about yourself?
I feel like the main thing is that loving yourself, mm-hmm, is so important. And I feel like I'm all about self-love and, like, making sure that you, like, celebrate the phenomenal woman that you are. But I think that in writing each book, in writing these characters, because most of the books, the heroine is, like, who's telling the story. It's always first person point of view. And outside of heartache and heartfelt, it's always from the female perspective. Mm-hmm. And in that, just like the different struggles that, like, every person, male or female, like, encounters, like, just different insecurities, different feelings of failure, just the different things that people go through in life, having to, like, get inside the head of these different people and, like, write these stories just makes me love me even more. Mm-hmm. Because whatever it is that they are going through or having to overcome, like, I think about, like, how I would deal in that situation. Then I think about how they would deal in that situation. Mm-hmm. Because having that, like, self-awareness makes sure that, like, keeps the character. And, like, and sometimes it's me and the character would do the same thing. And mm-hmm. sometimes we wouldn't. But just it really, it helps with the whole, like, self-actualization and getting to the epitome of loving me and all of that.
So one of the things that you do that I think is really, really cool, and before you, I know that people might say, Sheree, we know that writers write about plus size women all the time. I know, I'm not unaware, but you were the first author that I read. So let me just be clear before everybody try to come for me on the internets. You were the first person that I read where the main character or, you know, the leading lady, she was a plus size woman and it wasn't an issue. Like it wasn't, 'cause this is from Work Song. And I think that every woman in the world, Sheree Work Song, and Tati Green is a plus size, fashionista girl. She's very confident. She's very aware of herself. And she, you know, she's still a girl. Like she has some moments where she has self-doubt and self-esteem issues and everything else. But her weight wasn't at the forefront. It wasn't like you were writing about a plus size woman. You were just writing about a woman. So did you like purposely go into it wanting to write her as a plus size woman, or even like having plus size women in it? Did you think, oh, well, I didn't see any plus size women. Well, I haven't been reading these type of characters where they were described as, you know, full figure women. So I'm going to write about that. Or did it just come to you? And did you think it would be an issue for readers? Because not trying to say, you know, that we're not plus size women, because I'm a plus size girl, and not represented, but just like in videos, music videos, you have this same type of girl, and then when you mm-hmm. do, everybody says they want a different type of woman or a girl or whatever being represented, and then when they get it, it's like, I don't know if we're gonna roll with this, like, you know what I mean? It's like everybody says they want something new, but then they still either keep buying the old thing. Or when you introduce them to something new, it's just like, I don't know. So I guess, like, how did you, you know, if you can answer that, I know I might have went around a lot of places, but how did you figure that, you know, a plus size girl was going to be the way to go, and not to make it a focus, but just make it like, you know, when they be like, you know, 5'5". Short, small in the waist, cute in the face. You just made her a little thick in the waist, and you didn't make it a thing, though. So, if you can explain that.
I agree. I think that a lot of times there are people who are like, oh, we want something different, but then you give them something different, and it's like, oh, no, thank you. I knew Tati was, like, Tati was a big girl. Like, from the beginning, like I knew that she was a big girl, and so when writing it, like I just feel like with anything, like in all romance novels, it's like it just boils down to somebody wanting to be loved, like whether it is like a woman looking for a man looking for a woman looking for a woman, man looking for a man, like whatever the case may be. Like in a romance novel, it's a person looking to love and be loved. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's so, like, in every book, like the woman is like the most beautiful woman in the world. Like that's always mm-hmm. the case. And I feel like, and that's cool, like, because I do it too, like, you want to make sure everyone knows, like, this person is fly. Mm-hmm. But, like, I wanted it to be, like, this person is fly, and she is a size 16. Mm-hmm. Like, and that doesn't stop her fly. Because, like, our beauty is not measured in pounds. And I feel like when we, as a society, stop, like, putting that narrative out, mm-hmm. so back to what we were talking about earlier with, like, the media, and how it does with people of color, and like pretty much programs us to think that, okay, like basically think these stereotypes, is the same with plus size women. And that was definitely reflected in the difficulty I had finding a cover model. Mm-hmm. When I was going to have to spend a lot of money and get a custom photo shoot done, or like work within the stock photos. And with the stock photos, it was like, if you put in, first of all, it's difficult to find. If I put in, because all of the heroines in all of my books all have natural hair. And mm-hmm. so putting in Black, African-American, natural hair, it's already the millions upon millions dwindled down to like 3 pages. Mm-hmm. So then on top of that, it's like you put in plus size or big girl or like that or whatever. And like, it, the pictures that come up are negative in some, in half of the results. There were people standing on scales and like frowning. Mm-hmm. Or there was like one picture where it was like this big woman. I think I didn't even put it at this point. I just put it plus size. I didn't even put a specific race. But I remember specifically it was a picture of this bigger white woman, and like she had like a whole pizza in mm-hmm. her hand, and like it was just like photo after photo, like basically saying that this is what you get, like this is plus size. And it's like there was like rarely any pictures that were plus size model who was like doing it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like who was soft, well put together, all of like. And that was so problematic for me. And so, like, I had to get, like, a photo that looked like, if you saw the whole, like, the whole series of, like, that model's photo, if you remember what it works on, cover looks like.
Yes, I do. And that's like, what I was about to say. I didn't want to cut you off, but it was so funny because when I was reviewing this with a few other sister girls, because we did an actual video review of the book, that was one of the things that, you know, we each were like, I don't get the cover. Even though I love the cover myself personally, I really did like the cover. The backdrop was of like New York City, well, of a city skyline, but the book does take place in New York City. So I was like, that was on point. The woman, she's very beautiful. It shows her from like the neck up, but her features are very captivating. They're very like sharp, and you can see she's a beautiful woman. But I was just like, not trying to be funny, but Tati Green wouldn't look like this. That was our whole thing. We were like, why would Daniel Allen do this? And I'm sorry, I always call authors by their first name, last name, but however you give it to me, I feel like that's what you become. Yeah, you become a whole name. And I was just like, why would she do this? And I remember vividly having like a long conversation with the other sister girls that we did the review with, the video review. And I was just like, I don't get it. While I love the cover, I didn't understand it. And I remember Saida specifically said, well, maybe she did that because of us wanting to, you know, to kind of pull you in to make you, I guess, see it from a different view. Like, it don't always have to be what you think a plus size woman is. I'm like, oh, that could be it. That could be it. But I just didn't agree with that being the reason. And now that you said it, it was just like, wow, duh. Probably because they don't have a lot of plus size models that you can kind of use for like, you know, a cover that's not like fashionable.
Absolutely.
Because I know for me, I know a lot of plus size models and I know that they're out there just because of the industries that I worked in. But to have stock photo, like, no. I mean, they might be very fashionable in like model settings, but just them like reading a book, you know, at the computer, all those photos that you would need maybe for teasers for the specific book. No, I would just be like, I don't know where you're going to get it from. So that really cleared up a whole like conversation that we were having. And I'm sure that maybe other women who read the book kind of felt the same way. But I also did say that a lot of women, even if they're plus size, it's not like because you're plus size, your whole body has to be, I guess, filled out. You can have a very, you know, thin face and B plus, so like that's realistic. So when you explain it definitely makes a lot more sense.
But I love the cover.
Yeah, I love the cover like, too. It's very, I liked it a lot.
I love it. And so the, I'm trying to think, Quirky Bird if you did, that cover. And I, like, when I instantly fell in love with it. And I even had her, because I was looking for a model who at least had, like, a chubbier face. Mm-hmm. But, like, and that was as chubby as it got. And I even asked if she could, like, kind of, like, make it a little more,
mm-hmm.
like, thicken it up a little bit without, like, messing up the proportions of the face.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we did what we could. And, like, well, actually, you know what? No, it was her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, because her arms looked very thin. And mm-hmm. I was like, can you, like right where it's about to be her neck, like, can you make that? And, like, she did what she could. But they just aren't. So it's either I'm, like, dropping a whole lot on a custom photo that I don't even really own the rights to,
mm-hmm.
or I'm buying the rights to a stock photo or a way less a charge. So I went that route. And again, I think the model's beautiful and I think the cover's beautiful, but that is the woman is not at all plus size. And and the reason it's not a full body photo is because I know when I see, like, TV shows and they have someone who's, like, a size 6 or a size 8, and they're like, here's the newest plus size model. And it's like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not
yeah, it's not technically.
No, definitely. That's why she's cut off where she's cut off, because I did not want to, like, send that message, because that's not the message I was going for. But yeah, so, like, after I got the cover done, I was just like, Kathy is, like, her face is just a little slimmer than, like, her body is. But the overarching, like, message was just that, like, she is a fly individual. Like, she is beautiful.
Yeah, I really did like that about her.
Dress her, like, tail off, and she is doing it. And her being a size 16, it does not phase, like, her. And, like, so when there's people, because there's one part when there's this who, like, a lot of women are all about, and he says something to her, and she isn't interested, so his go-to thing was to call her fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of big girls have had those experiences where it's like, if you are not interested in the advance, then the first derogatory thing they can think to say is to call you fat. And it's like, okay, and? Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because I feel like Kathy was just like, okay.
Mm-hmm. She didn't need, she didn't need it.
And you still wanted me, and uh-huh. I still said no.
Yeah.
And so...
And I really like that about her as a character, because I always feel like, and I think that's anything, like, that'll be the first thing, it'll be a physical thing, but she didn't let it phase her, because at the end of the day, he was the guy that wanted to talk to her. She wasn't trying to look out for him or anything like that. So I thought that was really cool that she was just like, but you were trying to talk to me, though. But
exactly.
Just moving on a little bit, I know that there are certain stories that I think readers just flock to. There are certain authors that people flock to. There are certain, you know, even within your own genre, we have, you know, so many authors now, which is a great thing, but there are certain stories that maybe do, that are more popular than others. So how do you stay in your own lane? They say comparison is a thief of joy, and we all hear it. We see it in the memes. But how do you just say, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing, not compare myself to other writers, not try to copy other writers, and just, you know, be myself when I write?
In my life, I've just gotten to a point where it's just, like, at the end of the day, like, the people who rock with you are going to rock with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who don't, they aren't. And that's just what it is. But I don't ever feel like, because someone else is shining bright, that means that I can't shine bright. Like, I think I put something on Instagram or Facebook today about how, like, you shining has nothing to do with anyone else shining.
Mm-hmm.
But two queens shining together just make the whole situation brighter.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can be in your own lane and doing your own thing And, like, you don't, like, don't have to concern yourself with what someone else is doing.
Yeah.
People are going to read book after book after book.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope is, I always hope that someone, like, picks up my books and reads them. Mm-hmm. But, like, if someone, like, that, if someone doesn't, like, that's unfortunate. But, like,
mm-hmm.
if they're reading someone else's book, they're not going to only read that person's book. Mm-hmm. They're going to read a book after that, and after that, and after that. And then that person's going to run out of books, so they're going to go to a different author and read those books, too. So it's just a matter of, like, there's no reason to, like, this isn't a competition. Like, I write stories that I would want to read. Mm-hmm. I write the things that speak to me, and I stand by everything I write. So, like, if I wrote it and put it out, then that means I love it. That means that 50 years from now, I'm not going to be ashamed of anything that I wrote from the heart. Where I was at that time, that's what I wrote, and I love it. So I'm good with that. And, like, I think that being able to stand by everything that I write,
mm-hmm.
again, the hope is that everyone's like, oh, let me read all these books. Let me buy them and read them. But, like, the reality is that people have their go-to people. And if you aren't, like, full-time marketing and doing everything because, like stuff is happening,
mm-hmm.
then your name might not be out there.
Yeah.
So people don't even know to look for you. So then it's like, you know, they hopefully will find you eventually. Like, you just never know how it's going to, like, work out for you. But I feel like I'm happy when other people, like find success. And, like, if a book blows up and everyone's like, oh, my God, you got to read this book, I'm always, like, if it's someone especially that I, like, know of, like, that makes me happy because I'm like, get it, doing it. Like, but that doesn't, like, just because their book is fantastic doesn't mean mine's not. Like, mm-hmm. my book's fantastic.
And I think, like, that's what most people need to, you know, myself, anybody, because we all get into, especially with social media, you said it right, just because somebody else is fantastic and just because somebody else is amazing does not mean that I'm not fantastic and I'm not amazing too. And I think if we got that, and I mean as a whole, as a society, as women, as
yes.
creators, that was like the perfect, if you don't take anything away from this interview, take away that and go get the book Work Song by Danielle Allen and look into all the other amazing writing. But that is, like, the whole, you know, the reason why I wanted to do this podcast, the reason why I wanted to, you know, even start a book club and, you know, highlight authors. And, you know, the reason why I do what I do is because, and I love everybody doing everything else, because it not only does it motivate you, it inspires you. There's been a ton of times that I've read people, listened to interviews, gone to their events, and, you know, I want to do the same things. And at the time, I'm not doing it, or I did it already. And I'm just like...
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might feel bad, like, dang, they did all this. But then it's like, wait, hold up. But I did this too. Or I have this coming up. Or I have these talents as well. And knowing that because you're amazing or because you're fantastic or because you're doing so well doesn't mean that it's taking away from anything that I'm doing. And I think once we get that for real, and it's not just a meme that we put up, is that something that we internalize, I think a lot we'll see more people, especially of color, coming together and working together. We'll see more, like, you know, like, to me, I always love when I see, like, all my favorite authors team up and write a book together. I think that's so cool. We'll see a lot more of that, you know, happening, because it won't feel as though we're in this big rat race. And I don't know who started it, but
exactly.
It's like this thing now. It's like, okay, well, I can't show her too much love, because if she gets ahead of me, then, you know, it's a problem. And so I'm happy you said that. So I have one more question. The reviews.
As an author.
The reviews. Everybody say, you know what, I just try not to look at the bad reviews. I don't take it in. And, you know, some of them hurt my feelings. But now, after so many books that I've published, I don't look at it like that. And I'm just like, yeah, right. As a human being, I'm sorry. Like, I love when authors give me that whole beautiful speech, like, it's great, and I don't take it to the heart. I'm just like, no, because if somebody say they hate my stuff, I'm tight. Like, even if it's just for 15 minutes or a day, if somebody doesn't like something that you've done, like, as a human, it does something. So I'm like, how do you get through the bad reviews?
Well, I feel like I really don't take it to heart when they do. And I know you're giving me a sign up right now because I know you usually hate them. But I really don't. Like, if someone's like, oh, I hated this, it was the worst writing ever, then I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Because no, it wasn't. Like, you didn't like the story, and that I'm completely okay with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've gone to so many movies. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, okay, so I wish they could give me my $10 back, but they're not, you know what I mean? But, like, I was disappointed by the movie, and I'm sure the writers who wrote the plot to that and wrote the script, and they all were like, this is great. We're taking this to the bank, guys. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I went in there, and I was like, this is not for me, or I fell asleep, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. And so it's like, there are things that I don't like. And so I respect it if someone reads something and it doesn't connect with them in the same way. Mm-hmm. I'm completely okay with that. I only feel some type of way when the review is negative and not about
and mean spirited. Like, that's what I always say when it's actually mean spirited and not like a critical analysis of the story and why you didn't like
it.
So I don't believe that you're not lying. I think you're telling the truth because you kind of explained it. And I think that you're absolutely right, because there's a lot of books that I've read, even movies, whatever the case is. But since we are talking books, there's a lot of books, especially by specific authors that I like. I might read like 5 books and I love every one of those books, and then on the 6th book, I was just like, wow, so this wasn't for me. And you just kind of like, you know, roll with the punches. It's not that they're a bad author, they don't know what they're doing, they didn't do their research, and you know, whatever the case is, it's just that that specific story wasn't for me. And so when you said it like that, it makes perfect sense. And like I said, I'm not giving you the side eye. I truly believe that's what you were. You meant it. And so I have a couple flash questions. And this is where you just answer the question really, really quickly. You don't give yourself that time to like be like, I think maybe. Just, it's quick, okay? So you ready?
Okay. I'm
ready. Name one author who you would most like to work with.
What first came to my mind was Christina Jones. Ooh. I love her.
Okay. Name the book you didn't write but you wished you had.
Gone Girl.
Favorite time of the day.
Favorite time of the day? Night.
Coffee or tea?
Neither.
Favorite book?
It's nonfiction. It's called When Chicken Heads Come Home to Roost.
Favorite author?
Me.
Favorite TV show?
I'm just like, Maya Angelou, but also me. Favorite TV show? I watch way too much TV. Scandal, Shondaland, like Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, Law and Order SVU.
Okay.
Empire Power.
A lot. Okay. If I wasn't a writer, I would be
a teacher.
Okay. And who is Daniel Allen?
Daniel Allen is a motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I want to motivate. I want to inspire.
That's really good. I haven't heard anybody say motivational speaker. I need to steal that somewhere. So that was really good. Thank you so much for doing this interview. I think it was really, really good. And I want people, let people know where they can find you, because I was about to give you the plug myself, but you'll do a better job at it than I will.
You can find me on Facebook, Danielle Allen, or author Danielle Allen is the like page. You can find on my website, www.authordanielleallen.com. I have a newsletter. You can sign up for that on the website. You can find my book on Amazon. Most of them are in Kindle Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to my Amazon page and see all 9 of them.
All right. And thank you again so much, Daniel, for taking the time out. Because I know I keep thanking you, but I know now that I really know your schedule, I know you really said, you know what, let me take the time out. So I appreciate it so much. And congratulations on all of your success. I know I'll be getting your 10th book. I'm sure it's coming out soon. And
yes,
that's it. We're wrapping it up.
Thank you so much. It was good to be here. And I'm excited about listening to this later.
Okay.
It's true. But have a good day. Thank you.
You too.
Bye. And bye, everyone.